And welcome to Saints Sports Weekly. Jeff Bowman, Fred Smith with you here tonight and live in the Cave Studios here in downtown Adrian. And once again, we're going to talk a little soccer, but this time we're going to the men's side as we've got Coach Drew Crawford with us tonight. Drew, good to have you in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome welcome inside. You got practice to just get over with?
Yeah, a little while ago, so we had a short little training session today, hopefully getting us ready for another good game on Wednesday.
Well, you had a good win the other day, and a whack win against Defiance at home, 5-2, and get you on the board. You're 1-0 in the league right now.
Yeah, you know, that's the goal, obviously. We had a tough non-conference schedule, and we struggled in a few games that I thought we probably should have performed better and had better results. But, you know, the whole goal was to get us ready for conference play, and to start 1-0 obviously is important with a home game. And then we've got another game Wednesday at Rochester, which if we play like we did on Saturday, I think we'll get a similar result. But they're going to be, you know, tough, athletic. We just need to be patient with the ball and make good decisions. And, you know, hopefully we'll come back from Rochester 2-0 in the league.
Well, it'd be nice. I see, you know, looking at the early schedule, again, and talk about a tough schedule, but, you know, giving up six goals, giving up five goals. Is that you're shoring up your defense a little more after some of those high-scoring games?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, some was, you know, not indicative of how the game went, and you know, maybe the wheels fell off a little bit near the end of the game, you know, things like that. But, yeah, you know, defensively we've had some lulls that we talked about today a little bit that we can't have. Like, for example, on Saturday we had a 10-minute spell where we didn't play well. They scored both their goals in that 10 minutes to tie us up. And then, you know, then we got back to what we were doing, and we really dominated the game from that point on.
Yeah, that's Drew. This is Coach Smith. How you doing? First of all, it's always good to hear your voice. It has been a little different, you know. Again, I haven't seen you, but I follow results like anybody else does. But it's been strange. Really, the other results in a non-league were pretty tight ball games. The ones that were surprising was at Mount Vernon and most recently at Albion. And but, you know, I guess, like you say, soccer is one of the the games that sometimes how the game ends isn't really how it, you know, was played out. I know that. But that's one thing in your tenure. You guys have never given up a lot of goals, you know. That's one thing I really noticed.
Yeah, you know, you know, some of them are just odd things that we either, you know, make a mistake and they seem to capitalize on them, or like, you know, the Mount Vernon game, we would just, you know, we just made too many mistakes, and they were quality, you know, players that we gave the mistakes to. So we definitely have to shore that up, try to be simpler in the back and in the midfield so we don't turn the ball over. And when we do, we've got to get numbers around the ball in order to, you know, win the ball back and not give up quality scoring opportunities.
Yeah, and that's key. I mean, you know, being able to control the things that you can control and especially, you know, trying not to, you know, to give them the easy opportunities, but that's a lot of times easier said than done, right?
Oh, for sure. You know, and again, it's a matter of just understanding that we want to play simple in the back, and it's not just our back four, it's everybody, the movement, and giving early options so we can keep the ball and build out of the back. But when we get in trouble, that, you know, sometimes we have a tendency not just to dump it in deep. So, you know, losing the ball in their defensive third rather than our defensive third makes a big difference. And, you know, our guys want to continue to play out of the back, which is a great attribute, but sometimes we've got to understand that, you know, it's not working. Sometimes we just have to play long and then go chase the ball a little bit.
You know, one of the things that, you know, and we talked about this when we did the preseason stuff at Aubrey's, but you started with, I think, four or five straight on the road, right? And that's, I don't care who you are, that's difficult to do. But the only thing, you know, then we came back, obviously, at home and beat Defiance. I think the one that surprised me was the Albion game at O'Laughlin. That's the only thing that really surprised me. And maybe Albion is awfully good, and I'm not aware of that. Let's be truthful. But because usually, you know, our teams always play very competitively at home. And I know, you know, we have a number of home games left. I mean, we got some big road ones, too. Talk about Albion and what occurred that day.
Yeah, well, you know, we knew what they were going to be. They were going to be very direct and very athletic. And we wanted to be able to keep the ball and build. And their first goal, it was a giveaway in the back. You know, I think their player took two or three total touches, and he hit really nice shot, you know, outside of the foot, upper corner. You know, give him credit for the finish, but it was our mistake that led to the goal. So it was 1-0 at half. And then the second half, we started really strong. We were, you know, the first 10 minutes, we probably created three or four great opportunities to tie the game or get up, and then they scored on a counter attack to go 2-0, and then that kind of the wind came out of the sails a little bit because we had, you know, really pushed them. And then, you know, I made some changes to keep some guys healthy to, you know, with a conference game starting on Saturday, and they scored three goals in the last, like, 12 minutes of the game. So it really wasn't, you know, that's definitely one of those games that you look at and go, okay, it wasn't really a 5-0 game. You know, 2-1, 2-2 probably would have been the right result based on how well we played. But we struggled to put the ball in the back of the net at times in all 8 years, and it hasn't been any different this year. So, you know, that's a big key that we're looking forward to is we're creating great opportunities. Now we need to finish them. So that's going to be the focus for the next few weeks for sure.
Well, you know, you drop five in on Defiance, which has got to help for sure. But who has stood out for the Saints so far this year, Coach?
Well, I think Thiago Moraes has played extremely well and been a really good leader as one of the captains. You know, he brings a lot of experience and leadership to the team. He's been very good. Our back line, you know, is relatively new, but Christian, who's going to be on the show a little bit later, he's been very versatile for us. He's moved from a forward position to a midfield position back. Now he's playing outside right back, and he's been very good for us. And then some of the newcomers, Pedro in the midfield, Felipe in the back, Andre in the back. You know, we've got a lot of talent, and guys are playing well at different times. Now, like Saturday, I think we all put it together and everybody had a strong game together, with the exception of a 10-minute spell. And that's what I think we're capable of, and that's what I'm expecting from here on out is that higher quality of consistency to be competitive in every game. You know, we have obviously Rochester on the road, but then we go to Madonna, who's nationally ranked. So, you know, we need to be good, we need to be focused, and we just need to be consistent.
Well, and Yuri has been pretty solid for you in net as well.
Yeah, he's had a solid season so far.
Which is good to have a guy back there. I mean, he's not being peppered as much as he was early on, obviously, but to have somebody back there that you can count on, it's got to be nice, too, and probably got to help the defense.
Yeah, you know, he's made some big saves for us in big moments, and, you know, he needs to continue to do that because, obviously, we're not going to go the whole season without giving up quality scoring opportunities, but you know, it's his job to make those saves when he's supposed to make the saves he's supposed to and make one or two that he's not, and that kind of gets the team going when he makes a great save. And you know, you can feel the energy in the team, like, you know, hey, he made a great save, let's pick it up, let's get better. And you know, it's certainly, we can build on that, and same with the offensive side. When we do a lot of really nice things and create great opportunities and score nice goals, you know, it kind of feeds off each other, and guys want to continue to play that way.
Last we talked too at the coaches show, you were still waiting on some clearance for some players. Do you have everybody in on the roster now that you were hoping to have on the roster?
Yeah, so everybody's in. The issue now is injuries. So there's, you know, guys that missed this past weekend. Two or three different players that are out injured, and it's just the way that the game goes. But we do have some quality in our depth, and the next guy has to step up and do their job when they're called upon. And we're at our full roster for now.
I think that's a real positive thing, Coach. Heck, we got 33 guys, and it shows that people like playing for you, like playing for Siena. That as this is our last season, that we had such a big number out there, and you've got to be pleased with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, from the guys that came back, that maybe were sophomores and juniors, I was very happy that they came back, because that's a difficult decision for them based on now they know they have to transfer.
Right.
And then the guys that came in that are first years, the fact that we brought as many in that still came in is a testament to, I think, more of our players that a lot of the guys knew a lot of the guys already, and they talked them into coming and things like that. And I think that goes to the culture that the team has created more than anything else.
So are you finding a little more extra time on your hand that you're not having to go out recruiting?
Well, I usually don't recruit till after the season, because that's the big recruiting season. So I'm hoping I'll get a little more free time at that point.
Get your golf game going.
It's non-existent right now.
Well, again, looking ahead, you talk about Madonna. Who else is having a strong year in the WAC so far, and some of their preseason that's really going to pose a big challenge for you?
Yeah, it's the normal players. It's, Madonna, Indiana Tech would be the top two. Uno looks like they've rebuilt and they're strong again. Aquinas, Lawrence Tech, Lourdes, like there's very few teams, that you don't have to really prepare for and be ready to go and compete with. Even Defiance, who were, preseason ranked under us, they battled us for 45 minutes, and then the second half we really picked it up and put the game away. But, we just need to, be focused on every single opponent, because, being the last year, the goal obviously is to get into the playoffs and make a run and do something special. And I think we have the talent that can do that. It's a matter of, are we going to be focused enough every day? Can we do the little things right? Can we take advantages of the opportunities that we create? And can we be fortunate enough that when we make a mistake that somebody can bail us out and pick up from their teammates?
Well, you speak about the postseason. Now, where do you have to end up at the end of the season to be able to qualify for the WAC championships?
We need to be in the top eight. So this game Wednesday will be a big step in the right direction. If we can get to 2-0, beating two teams that we would normally be fighting for in that lower half, but also propels us and gets us ready for, who knows what's going to happen at Madonna on Saturday. So, we're poised to make a huge upset, and, I think Madonna might overlook us a little bit, and if we go in there with the right mindset and the right game plan and the guys work for 90 minutes, anything can happen.
Now, when we talked before, too, you talked about how it was a tight-knit group, especially coming back playing for this last year. Do you still see that and see, what they're playing for, that, this is a pretty meaningful year?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, like any team, we've had our issues, and, guys aren't always going to be on the same page, and definitely not with me as well, because I may have different visions of what I see and what I think. So we've worked through some of that, and I think now we're moving in the right direction. And we're counting now. We got 10 games remaining, and hopefully more than that. But that's all that's given to us. That's all that's guaranteed. So if we want to play longer than that, we've got to stick together and work as a group and get the results that we need.
Well, I'm looking at the schedule as well, and the Goshen game at Goshen. The little snippet next to it says kickoff delayed due to bus problems. So do you have some issues on the way down to Goshen?
That was an interesting day all the way around. So Yeah, the bus showed up, had mechanical issues, so they couldn't take it, so they had to get another bus. So we left more than an hour late. So I was texting with their coach saying, hey, we're going to get in there around, you know, this time. And he said, okay, we'll try to kick off around 8. I said, fine. Then there was construction, so then we were delayed again. So I texted him again and said, hey, we're a little later. He said, okay, we'll kick off whenever. So we get on campus, and Goshen has a railroad track that goes right through the middle of campus. Well, we parked on one side of the tracks, and half the guys got across, and then a train came.
Oh,
so we're like,
God.
The other guys are sitting there for 5 minutes waiting to get across the train track. So we had about a 15-minute warm-up. We kicked off. We actually scored a minute and a half into the game. So it was crazy. And then we had a lightning delay for half an hour in the second half. So
oh, my gosh.
Pretty much anything that could go wrong time-wise went wrong, but the guys persevered. We fought through it and, you know, got a quality tie on a, you know, against a quality team on the road.
You know, it's funny. My daughter and my grandkids, they live down in Valparaiso, so I go up and down the turnpike a lot when I go out to visit them. And I'm telling you right now, there's so much construction on the other side of Angola to Goshen that it's you're absolutely right. I can see how it happened. But that has to show you guys something. I mean, A, you're running late. B, you're getting all this stuff, and yet you guys came together and hung in there. You know, that's a good sign.
Yeah, and I thought that was going to be a complete turning point for us, and it wasn't exactly what I had hoped, because then we had a couple games after that where we weren't great. So, I think it shows them, and especially, you know, Saturday, the way we played, I think guys understand what we're capable of, but what it takes as well in order to get results, that we can't just step on the field and think things are going to happen. We've got to go make it happen.
I'm also looking at the box score from that game where you guys had 3 yellow cards and they had a yellow card. A little bit of a rough game?
The Goshen game?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it always is. They're physical, they're very athletic, and it was raining. I mean, it rained the entire game, so it was sloppy as well. So that didn't help. So a lot of slide tackles that were a little bit late and here and there, a couple tactical fouls. So, you know, it was the normal game that we have with Goshen. I mean, it's just the way it always is. But, you know, again, our guys battled really hard for 90 minutes, and it was a great result for us.
You know, Coach is Is Coach Hannah still working with you?
He is.
Oh, that's awesome. Having somebody that, you know, goes back to the 80s like you do, or whenever, when Teddy played, and his history here in Lenawee County with soccer. I haven't been over. That's good to hear. I'm glad that he's finishing it up with you. Who else is on your staff?
So Brendan Robbins is our GA, who played, and then he's into his second year of being the GA. Pedro Sales, who played up through last year, he's kind of like a volunteer assistant, kind of team manager, does a lot of things for us. So that's our complete staff.
So, again, this year is the last, and I know it's always tough to think that way. You know, every single day is the last day of something. Is that something that is kind of talked about, or is it just kind of still in the background?
For the most part, I think it's in the background. But I think the last 2 weeks of the season will be when it really starts to set in, and, you know, it'll start to affect people a little bit more. Just knowing that, hey, that's 3 games, it's 2 games, it's 1 game. So I think that's when it'll really, you know, it'll really be more profound.
You know, it'll probably be pretty emotional on homecoming. We got Indiana Tech coming in at 4, which would be a great time to play great soccer, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of guys from the 80s that are coming in for that weekend. So it's going to be a great time off the field, and hopefully we can do the business on the field so everybody can have a great weekend.
Bunch of old guys getting back together, right?
Exactly.
Some of you guys coming from California?
The Walkers.
The Walkers.
Yeah, we got a guy coming in from California, from Indiana, all sorts of places. So it's going to be a nice little reunion.
Well, that'll be good, Coach, and you know, good luck Wednesday, and especially good luck against Madonna on the weekend.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Well, if you're by Christian, let him know. We'll be giving him a call right away.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you. Once again, all Coach right. Drew Crawford, and we're going to take a timeout and get a hold of one of his current players, Christian Orta. We'll be back with more right after this here on 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan offers online bachelor's and master's programs designed to fit your busy schedule. The online MBA program is available to students with degrees in various disciplines and does not require the GRE or GMAT testing for admissions. Designed to be flexible, convenient, and focused on ethical and sustainable business practices. Learn more at sienaheights.edu. Again, that's sienaheights.edu. Looking to move your career forward? By going back to school, you're investing in your future, and Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan wants to help you. We know you're busy. From raising a family to building a career, you may not have much free time available. From associates to bachelor's to master's degrees, our classes are designed so you can work and manage home life while earning your degree. Let Siena Heights University help you take the next step. Learn more at sienaheights.edu. Again, that's sienaheights.edu.
Siena Heights University meets you where you are with its online bachelor and master's programs. Starting fresh? Have some credits? Our online program is designed for flexibility, convenience, and effectiveness. Our 7-week sessions make it easy to get started at any point in the year. And what makes our program truly special is that your work experience could translate to credit. Enroll now and be on your way when classes start in January. Learn more at sienaheights.edu.
And welcome back to Saint Sports Weekly, brought to you by Siena Heights University, right here on 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com. Jeff Bowman, Fred Smith with you here, and we're going to bring in a current player. Coach mentioned him a little bit ago, and is a local current player as well, as a Lenawee Christian grad, Christian Orta. Christian, welcome inside to Saint Sports Weekly.
Thank you.
Well, so an LCS grad, so you didn't go far away for school at all. How did that work out that you decided to stick right here in town and go over to Siena Heights?
Oh, I wish that was a simple answer. I had a decent bit of schools. I was fortunate enough, blessed enough to have a lot of offers to kind of determine where I wanted to go. But even then, I still wasn't 100% sure where I wanted to end up. I'm a business major, so it's pretty simple. I can pretty much go to any school for that. So it was mainly just for the soccer program. So I looked at a couple different schools, trained with a couple different programs, trained with Siena, and I was like, might as well. It's right at my back door. I can stay close to the fam. I can stay close to some of my friends. I got 2 or 3 friends on the team currently. So it was kind of a no-brainer once I trained with them, just saying, yeah, the level is there, and now it's time to commit.
Well, talking about training and some of these players, I know one of the big things that I talked about with Coach Crawford and stuff is especially some of the international food that they put on over there. You've been able to taste some nice Brazilian specialties or anything?
I have not yet. I haven't went over to any of their apartments or anything and had them cook for me yet, but I definitely will have to since this is our last year.
Yeah, there you go. And then, you know, speaking of that, I know we talked with Coach, and it's kind of, you know, it's not in the forefront, kind of in the background a little bit, that being the last year. But, you know, what are some of your thoughts on that, you know, trying to finish this year out, knowing that it's the last year for Siena Heights soccer?
Honestly, it's one of those things that I'm just taking day by day, where just going to each training session like it's my last, trying to get better each and every day, because I do have one more year left to play. So every day is another opportunity to prove myself to another program. So So I'm not too worried about it. It's just making the most of this last year with this group of boys and kind of just making it count.
Christian, this is Coach Smith. Talk about your progress in the program. When you got to Siena a couple years ago, did you play right away, or did you?
I didn't play right away. I started off, so came in my freshman year. Came into preseason, felt good, wasn't very confident in myself yet, right? Going from high school and club to playing with international players, players that have been in the college program for 4 years already, guys being 24, 25 years old, right? Like, it's just kind of a little bit of a culture shock where game's a little bit faster, game's a little bit more physical. So you go from playing high school, starting there, playing club, starting there, to then not even playing varsity because a lot of these guys are way better than you. They're way more physical. They're way faster. Right? And that kind of took a shot to me, like, mentally, where it's just like, dang, I really want to play. I really want to get on the field. But it's just one of those things where I kept looking into the future, where it's just, can I get better each and every day? Can I learn from one of these guys that I want to take their position? And if I can learn from one of them, then hopefully I can play where they're playing.
Well, that's one thing Coach had mentioned, too, that you've been kind of, you know, mixing it up a little bit position-wise and playing some different spots because of your versatility. And does that make it, made it easier for you to finally get on the field? Is it that you can have some versatility there?
I think it's definitely made it easier. It made it easier for me to get a lot more minutes, especially this year. We brought in a lot of really, really talented midfielders and forwards. Just being able to keep me on the field and keep me on the field in the attacking sense too, even though I'm a defender. Or playing the defensive role. All right, so just having that versatility has helped me not only get on the field, but stay on the field. Because last year I started, but then just being able to bounce around and stay on the field, even if we have to sub guys off, has helped.
So when did the bell really come on, or the light come on for you? You know, when, because we all, you know, I remember my freshman year, believe it or not, 50-odd years ago, but you know, all of a sudden you're playing with men, you're playing with people that are, you know, and you know you have the talent, but you don't have the, you know, that thing that you can get on the field. And it takes really a special person to develop, and you obviously did. When did the light go on for you?
I think it kind of happened over the summer. I was doing a lot of extra trainings on my own, playing with some summer league teams, and just honestly playing as much soccer as I could. I was just trying to get on the field and get as many touches as I could in the summer, and I think that's when it kind of clicked. I was playing against dads, ex-college players, semi-pro players, D1 players, where it's just like we're all the same type of person. It's just the game gets a little bit faster. And so just playing every day, playing as much as you can, getting as many touches as you can, gets you really confident on the ball, where it's just really just levels you up a little bit. And if you can just keep getting a lot of touches on the ball, then you just keep leveling up.
Well, that's one great way to look at it. And as you said, probably the biggest thing for you then was coming, you know, probably obviously, you know, playing at Lenawee Christian was one thing, but club was a little bit more advanced. And then as you said, when you got to the collegiate level, the you know, bigger, faster, and stronger. And did you have to do more in the weight room and stuff, too, to get that part? I mean, you talk about the touches and getting better that way, but did you have to get a little, you know, a little bigger and stronger yourself so you could play a little bit more of that physical game?
Honestly, I'm fortunate enough not to have to be in the weight room a lot. I'm kind of more sturdy to the ground, a little bit stronger legs, kind of just grew up that way. Just by playing a lot of soccer, just developed a lot of leg strength. So I've been fortunate enough not have to be constantly in the weight room. But in the off season, us as a whole group and as a whole team will be lifting some weights to maintain some of that strength and agility.
Were you always a soccer guy, Christian, even at LCS, you know, a small school? Did you play other sports there?
No, I'm a huge soccer guy. So from probably 3 to 4 years old, I just fell in love with the sport. And ever since then, that's all I wanted to play. I've played other sports growing up, but eventually once we got to the travel level and having to drive hours away to go play different teams, my parents were like, okay, you have to pick one. So fell in love with soccer, and I picked that one and been running with it ever since.
What club programs did you play with?
So I played locally here in Lenawee County with FCA, now Lenawee United. Also, I played a year with Michigan Tigers over in Ann Arbor, but then came back here to finish out the last high school year.
Well, and you said you got a few of your teammates, your high school teammates on the roster. Is that kind of fun to be able to go on from that high school level and then being able to play together at college?
Yeah, and also it's a lot of fun, and also being able to have that confidence and that sense of security with those players because you've played with them before. Like, it's just natural now to be back on the field playing with them, moving the ball with them.
Then you get a guy like Spagnoli, though, that was on the other team in high school. How's that? You guys were able to become teammates, though.
It's really cool having other guys from Lenawee County join the team and being able to play with them, because just seeing their different culture that they've had from maybe Adrian compared to my culture from Lenawee Christian, and just seeing how we can combine those to make a culture here at Siena Heights.
So, Christian, you know, we've, six, seven matches into the season. You're 1-0 in the conference. How do you feel that the Saints have, started the season out? And what do you think their chances are to make the playoffs?
Honestly, I think we have a good run to make the playoffs. We have a tough schedule, right? The WAC has some pretty good teams in there. You got your Aquinas, you got your Lords, you got your Lawrence Tech, your Madonna, your Indiana Tech, which are all very solid teams. But I think we're right there with them. I think we can compete well, right? If we just keep building each and every day, after every game we pick one or two points that we want to work and build on, we start building on those things, and we keep adding to what we're already working on, I think we'll be in a really good point to where we can compete with any team.
You know, you mentioned culture between, you know, like maybe LCS and Adrian and that. And speaking of culture with the international players, what are some of the things that they bring and the different style of play that the international players bring to this team? And have you picked up on some of those?
Yeah, they're a very competitive group, right? You get Brazilians, Spaniards, people from Sweden coming in. And it's cool being able to watch how they were grown up or how they grew up and developed as players. But it's also cool to see how they bring their own intensity to the game, right? You get more players, the Brazilians, that are way more technical on the ball, that can do flashy skills. And then you get some of the people from Spain that maybe likes to move the ball a little bit more. And it's just cool seeing all those guys come in, and we can use all of those different types of skills and little niches that they have to make one very good culture that we can use to hopefully exploit the other teams.
Where do you see the Saints' strengths are on this team, and where do you think you have to get better at?
I think our strengths, honestly, are staying together as one. When we look back at the Huntington game, we stayed together as a whole group, and we tied 0-0 to a really, really good Huntington team for our very first game. And when we start to fall apart and we don't play together and we don't like work with each other, then you start to see those little moments where you slip up. But I really do think if we just stick together and we work as a whole, we work as 11 guys on the field, then I don't think any team's going to really stand a chance with us.
Well, I love the confidence, that's for sure. Is that one thing that you guys are kind of, you know, have, you know, a confident in yourself and the team this year, and really, you know, knowing that is the last year that you guys want to go out on a high note?
Yeah. It's one of the things that I say, you just have to bet on yourself. You don't bet on yourself, and nobody else will.
What type of leader are you, Christian? What, you know, are you a vocal leader or an example leader?
I like to think I'm a little bit of both. I don't like to be the leader that just talks. I like to be the leader that also will back up everything he says. If I say we have to work harder, boys, I'll be the first person out there working harder. If I lose the ball in a game, you better believe I'm the first person trying to win that ball back. And it's just one of the things where you can't have a leader who's just going to sit there and tell you what to do. You have to have a leader that's going to sit there, tell you what to do, and also lead by example. So I think that's my main thing, is if I'm going to expect something from another player, I better believe I'm doing it too.
So as you look into the future, you said you're going to cross that bridge as it came, but academically, You said you always wanted to go into business, I think, and you're doing that. How close to graduate? You got another year of school, or how long will you
have? Yeah, I have 1 year left.
All right, 1 year left. So you should be able to, with all the opportunities and teach outs, that shouldn't be a problem. You're just going to, at the end of the year, you can probably figure that out. A lot of people would love to have somebody that's a good student, and with your soccer background, you shouldn't have much of a problem. I know Coach will probably help you, and we wish you luck and all that, but having a great year this year would certainly help it, right?
Exactly.
Well, again, Christian, we appreciate your time with us this evening, and good luck. I know we talked to Coach about, a tough one, Saturday, especially Madonna, but you get one on Wednesday with Rochester. So try to keep this thing going, and hopefully we can make a nice little run for the final year of Saints soccer.
Yes, make it one to be remembered.
All right. Once again, that's Christian Order from the Siena Heights University soccer team. We're going to take a timeout. We'll be back with the former Saint and current Maple. Once again, Sam Skeels, we have him right after this here on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Siena Heights University meets you where you are with its online bachelor and master's programs. Starting fresh, have some credits. Our online program is designed for flexibility, convenience, and effectiveness. Our 7-week sessions make it easy to get started at any point in the year. And what makes our program truly special is that your work experience could translate to credit. Enroll now and be on your way when classes start in January. Learn more at sienaheights.edu.
Looking to move your career forward? By going back to school, you're investing in your future, and Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan wants to help you. We know you're busy. From raising a family to building a career, you may not have much free time available. From associates to bachelor's to master's degrees, our classes are designed so you can work and manage home life while earning your degree. Let Siena Heights University help you take the next step. Learn more at sienaheights.edu. Again, that's sienaheights.edu. Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan offers online bachelor's and master's programs designed to fit your busy schedule. The online MBA program is available to students with degrees in various disciplines and does not require the GRE or GMAT testing for admissions. Designed to be flexible, convenient, and focused on ethical and sustainable business practices. Learn more at sienaheights.edu. Again, that's sienaheights.edu.
And welcome back to the Saints Studios, the Cave Studios. Here's Saints Sports Weekly. Jeff Bowman, Fred Smith, brought to you by Siena Heights University. And it's a soccer night tonight, and we've talked to the head coach and a current player. Now we're going to talk to a former player, the principal at Adrian High School, Sam Skeel. Sam, welcome in Saints Sports Weekly.
Hey, I really appreciate you guys having me on this evening. Thank you.
So you're watching a little soccer right now, right?
Yeah, we've got a little. It's senior night. We're out here at right next to Maple Stadium. Adrian's playing Tecumseh, so yeah, we got the win over them at their place. So hoping we can do the same this evening.
Is it a score yet up there?
No. They've got about 5 minutes till the start.
So. Okay. Gotcha.
It's really good timing, for sure.
Well, plus it'll keep, it's hard being a parent. As we can talk a lot about that. You're not only principal, you're parent, you're about everything. But this is Coach Smith, by the way, Sam, and I got to tell the audience, you're not only the principal, you know, you're probably one of the greatest athletes in the history of 107 years of Siena, and definitely of 50-odd years of sports here with your accomplishments. So you look at our record books. I'm sorry to put all this attention on your season. You have the top four seasons in goals, the top two in assists, the top four in points. I can go to game-winning goals, the top three, go to career, same thing. And you not only were just an unbelievable soccer player here, you were an unbelievable athlete. Today, as I'm riding over to my daughter and grandkids over on Scott, I hear somebody flying around the corner, and it's Sam, you know. And I know how you made such an impact in our running program, too. So take yourself back to that time. I think you were a 97 grad, and you went out to Southwest Missouri State. Then you ended up coming back. Talk about that and how all that happened, Sam.
Well, you know, I tell you what, Coach. I dropped out. You know, I got an injury out there at Southwest Missouri State, so I got redshirted. And I remember 2 weeks in a row, my teammates, my roommates, traveled, you know, for games, and I was stuck there. And I really quick thought, nah, this isn't going to be for me. And you know, just really homesick. And I tell you, my best friend in the world is BJ Horn, who went straight to Siena. And, you know, I came back and I was, it was a really tough spot. You know, you leave a Division I program and you're kind of questioning your life choices. And, you know, I remember BJ just saying, hey, you know, just come out and train with us and see what you think. And the next day, Coach Zig gave me a call and he kind of echoed BJ's statements. And, you know, I went out there and all I could do was, you know, train. I be around the guys, and they just I felt a sense of, you know, one, being home felt really good, but then I just felt a sense of being home at Siena right away because of the welcoming nature from, you know, Aldo Zid and Scooter, Scott Oliver, and all the players. I mean, those guys in between BJ's class and then my incoming class of freshmen the next year, some of my lifelong friends, are probably listening somewhere, and they'll give me a bunch of crap for the things I say right tonight. You know, we always banter with each other, but it was a cool experience. And then, you know, so I went to JCC. I got some credits that fall and then enrolled in Siena, the winter of 98, you know, with the thought of, hey, I'll stay here a year or so and then maybe go up to Michigan State or University of Detroit Mercy. And I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with the program. I fell in love with the school. Decided to become Catholic in the process. So it all just really lined up, and I wouldn't change a thing.
When did you make that? I mean, you know, you're kind of almost like a world's famous distance runner with some of the stuff you do. But when did the running thing? I remember training with you over at Pump and Praise. I remember that. I thought, my God, because, you know, I said, this guy is most unbelievable. To watch you work out, that's old guys working out. It was amazing. But when did you decide to go into that whole distance running thing or middle distance stuff?
Right. Well, the funny thing is, so I, for track, you know, Coach Bauer talked to me, and then all of a sudden, Josh Wonders had just graduated, and
right. He
said, Sam, I think you ought to try winter track. And I'm like, oh, you know, I don't know. And so Josh got me, you know, after the soccer season was over, he got me out to Heritage Park a couple of times to run. And I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. So I was a sprinter in high school. So I'm going in there, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, Bauer's going to want me to be a sprinter and, you know, whatever. And he's like, I think you'll be good at mid-distance. And I said, well, the farthest I've raced is a quarter mile. But then sure enough, he talks me into doing the half mile. So that was the farthest I would go. I can remember this, you guys. I told Coach Bowers, like, the mile's too far. I said, I can't race a mile. I'll do the 800, I'll do the 600. You know, they had the 1,000 in indoor. back back in the day. I don't know if they still do or not.
Yeah,
but,
they do.
They do. So, you know, I'm doing that. And then, you know, after I'm done, so I ran 2 years of indoor track at Siena with Bauer and had just an amazing time and created some lifelong friendships through that. But then after that, I just kind of got into, you know, I was coaching. And I took my PE and health over at Adrian College with the, you know, the agreement they had
right.
between the schools. So Kevin Cole, who was a big runner, kind of took me under his wing, and he started to, you know, show me about training for 5Ks. So I got all into that and thought that was cool. And then I just really, after my competitive soccer days kind of finished, I just wanted something to keep challenging myself and to, you know, see what I could do, what kind of limits I could reach. And it all was kind of history from there. It just went from triathlon to marathons to, you know, to ultras. And really, it's something I hope I can do my entire life. I'm certainly not getting any faster, but still really enjoy being competitive with myself and going and bringing that competitive nature to races.
Well, for the people out there listening that aren't familiar with ultra, explain the ultra races that you do.
So, you know, the ultra marathon is the definition is any step past 26.2 miles, which is a marathon. So, you know, the typical ultra distances are 50 kilometers, which is 31 miles, 50 mile, 100 kilometer, which is 62 miles, and then 100 milers. So, now they're also into, there's 200-mile races, 250-mile races. I don't think that kind of trips my trigger and hankering for going that far, but I do like to run far.
Well, and even these hundreds that you run, it's not like you're running in flatland either.
Oh, no, it's a whole new world, and that's part of what I like, the adventure of it. The challenge is trying to figure out how to appropriately train in the flatlands of the Midwest and then go out to the mountains of California or Colorado. And, you know, basically you got to figure out how to just get yourself through. And that's part of the fun of it is just testing your limits and see how much you're willing to take to get to the finish line.
So your average training then, we see you running all around. That's got to be something that you really have to try to figure out in your daily routine as well as how to get those miles in, because it's not like you're going out and doing a 20-minute circuit in the weight room.
No. You know, I've become really, really accustomed to getting up early in the morning. You know, and my kids, so we've got our twins are juniors and our oldest is a freshman at Oakland University. So when I was, when they were younger, I made a commitment that I would do the best I could to not let the stuff I wanted to do impact me being a dad and, you know, and a principal and things like that. So I would commit to doing all of my during the week running while my family slept. And then one day on the weekend, I would, you know, get up and go a little later to get a run in. But yeah, it's, you know, it's that balancing act. And really it's become something that is just as good for my overall wellness, mental health, emotional health, all that stuff, as it is for, you know, the physical health. So it's just become what I kind of do.
So do you train differently then when you're getting ready for a race as far as ramping up mileage and stuff? Or what is a, you know, your like a daily routine type of a thing when you're not training for a race as opposed to training for a race?
Yeah, I mean, I like to run every day regardless. I mean, I shouldn't say every day. I try to take one day a week off. But regardless if I have a race coming up or not, I try to do that. You know, now that I'm 47 years old, so now it's more of, you know, I know what I need to do to get fit enough to get to the finish line and to be as competitive as I can be. But it's definitely, I think a lot of it with endurance running, you build that endurance engine through years and years of doing it, and then, you know, it just doesn't take as much to be able to be proficient in it as it does when you're younger. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, I know if I wanted to be really, really fast at a certain distance or a certain race, I would have to put more time in. But now it's become more of a passion and just more of an adventure to try to get these things done in the races, and then just, you know, just enjoying it with the training and doing what I need to do to be as ready as possible, but also not go overboard and wind up injured or overtrained or anything like that.
Hey, Coach, Mr. Principal, I guess I need to say. Anyhow, what, you know, when did you catch the, you know, you've been a long-time educator, probably 20-odd years.
Yep, yep.
Plus, you're really a legend in the Adrian Public Schools, and I mean that in a positive way. Your impact from Lincoln to the high school is really great, and we're just so proud of you. But when did that kind of hit you in college that you think education might be your thing?
So, you know, I grew up, my dad was, he taught 30 years at Onsted, and I can remember some of my fondest memories growing up were the days when Adrian Schools didn't have school and Onsted did have school. And every time that was the case, I'd go to school with my dad.
Wow.
And, you know, at the time he taught elementary PE, and I'm thinking, man, I kind of like, you know, I love, you know, gym class as a kid. It's one of the favorite things. I'm like, man, I could kind of do this. So that was the seed there. You know, I also, he was a coach as well. So I got to, he coached varsity softball. So I got to be around those girls when I was growing up, and you know, they took me under my wing, and you know, some of them were my babysitters growing up, you know, when I was in a young kid and they were in high school. But anyway, you know, when I got to Siena, I thought, well, business sounds good. But as I went into it, I went into business education because I had this you know, and I think it was more of a delusion. You know, I thought, hey, I could be happy being in business, marketing, you know, whatever, sales. But it really, what it turned into, and when I got around people like D. Crane, Mark DePietro, those people in the education department, and I saw what a passion that they had for teaching future teachers, I just knew, I knew that's what I wanted to do. You know, my jobs in high school, I worked at the YMCA in the preschool program and at their summer camp. So it was just, you know, I really quickly realized that I loved being around kids, and I loved to try to motivate them, to try to encourage them to be the best that they could be. And, you know, for me, the best medium to do that was to be an educator. So it was just kind of a natural thing.
Well, then you've gone from Lincoln in elementary school, now over at the high school. What is your biggest challenge daily that's different from, you know, being at the high school compared to being at Lincoln?
Yeah, so I'll tell you, the biggest challenge that I'm facing, that we're facing right now, is attendance. We, you know, and this isn't, it's not an Adrian Schools problem. It's a problem, you know, across the state and across the country. You know, since the COVID pandemic, we've struggled in getting kids to come back to school. And I don't say that because our attendance is great, but I think what we have to learn and what kids have to learn is that it's not just about what you learn as far as the curriculum and instruction that you get when you go to school. A lot of what you learn in school are the work habits, the resilience, the stick-to-itiveness that are going to apply to whatever job that you have. I mean, you know, a lot of times the three of us don't want to get up and go to the job or go to school, but, you know, we do it because that's our job and that's our livelihood. And I think we just need to get some of that back, or get back to that with the kids, that, you know, there's a lot of things going on in life. And I'll tell you, it's tough to be a teenager these days with the social media and all these other things. But I think the biggest thing is just helping build that resilience with kids that, hey, even if you don't like this class or you don't think you're going to be use your algebra anywhere else in life, the fact that you get up, you come every day, you do your best, those traits and attributes are going to be what carry over and help you be successful in whatever you choose to do you know, once you finish high school.
I have to ask you this, and I know this is a tough question, but with your reputation as being such an outstanding athlete and this and that, plus all your responsibilities, you're also raising a family and watching your kids perform.
Yeah.
I know that from, you know, doing the same thing when, people put you on a pedestal whether they should or shouldn't. How do you handle that with your own kids? You know what I'm saying? And I hate asking this. It was hard, you know, but and it's got to be tough for you too, you know.
For sure.
Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, it's been just, for me, it's been an awesome blessing because I was the principal for my kids in their elementary years, and now I've gotten to be the principal for my own kids through their high school years. Really what I think it is building that reputation and the relationship with all students to understand that, hey, regardless if it's my son or daughter, if it's your son or daughter, when we're here at school, we treat every kid the same, you know, and it's one of those things that I'm probably even a little tougher on my own children. In fact, when there has to be tough conversations, I sometimes turn that over to Mr. Jack McGurk, also a Siena alum, to have those conversations with my kids, just because I get a little heated and I turn my dad hat on with them as students. And I also have to remember when they're at the high school, yes, they're my kids, but they're students and they need to be treated just like everyone else. Not any tougher, not any, lighter as well. But it's been, you know, it's been, for me, I think it's been very good because I feel like, and maybe my perception's off, I feel like through the way I conduct myself, I think that people realize I want to do what's best for all kids, and I'm going to treat and love your kid and your kid and your kid the same as I do my own kids, and really mean it, because I think that's the core of what we do as educators. I mean, I think the first thing we have to do is build relationships with kids and show them that we love and care about them, and then once you do that, heck, you can teach them whatever you want. You can, you know, you can guide them in any direction, but, you know, the kids are the best judges of character. They know if you're there just for the paycheck, or they also know that if you're there for them, you care about them as people. And at the end of the day, that's the type of educator I want to be. You know, I don't think, at the end of my life, God's going to really care too much about what the SAT scores were at Adrian High School when I was principal there. He's going to want to know, did you love and care about the kids and help each and every one of them strive to be as successful as they could be?
Well, Sam, I think that that does carry through. And I you know, most people that I've talked to and with the kids coming through definitely see that. So that's you're doing a great job of that. But we're out of time here tonight. But, Sam, as always, we appreciate your time. And, good luck with everything there. Go Maples, right?
You doggone right, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. I appreciate you guys. I'm watching Parker out here right now.
Yep.
He's doing a good job.
That's good to hear, man. We're so proud of you.
Pull off the win here tonight.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I didn't mention your wonderful mother on this show. She's the best, so good luck.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Sam, that's Sam Skeels, the principal at Adrian High School, former Saint soccer player, but we got to get out of here because Ian wants to talk a little bit about some other school here in town. So we'll be back. He's coming in right after this on ACL Access. But once again, thanks to Christian Orta. Thanks to Drew Crawford and Sam Skeels. We're out of here. 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.